On the Gata on Chav Dalet Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin, where it discusses the differences between the Talmidei Chachamim and the Torah of Eretz Yisrael versus the Torah and Talmidei Chachamim of Bavel. Right, Lewis discusses it a little bit last year in the Hakdama, the Netziv's Hakdama to the Shiltas, so hopefully I could add something to what he had mentioned last year. So the Gemara in the Gata begins with a statement from Rav Oshaya, quoting a pasuk in Zechariah. The pasuk says, "V'akach li shnei makalos le'echad karasi Noam, v'le'echad karasi Chovlim." I took two sticks. One of them I refer to as Noam. One of them I refer to as Chovlim. What's the difference? What do these mean? So the Gemara explains, "Noam elu talmidei chachamim shebe'eretz Yisrael, sheminam zel hazeh b'halacha." This is Noam was a reference to the talmidei chachamim in Eretz Yisrael who would be pleasant to each other, nice to each other, get along with each other. And Chovlim, Elu Talmidei Chachamim Shebebabel, Shemechavlim Zeb L'Halacha. They would fight each other. They would have Milchama, Milchemes Hashem, fighting a battle of Torah. Then the Gemara goes on to quote another pasuk in Zechariah, Perek Dalid, Vayomer Eila Shnei Bnei Yitzah, Ma'adim V'Shnaim Zeisim Aleh. There's two Yitzars, there's two Zeisim. What does this mean? So Yitzar, Amar Reb Yitzchak, Elu Talmidei Chachamim Shebe'eretz Yisrael. Why would they refer to as Yitzar? Yitzar meaning oil. Shenochim ze laze b'halacha kishemen zayis. They were pleasant and nice to each other when it came to halacha, when it came to establishing the psak halacha, like shemen zayis. V'shnayim zeisim ale, what is the two olives referred to? Elu talmidei chachamim shebebavel, shemerurim ze laze b'halacha kizayis. They were bitter to one another when it came to halacha, when it came to psak halacha, perhaps Talmud Torah. So we see two statements there based on the Pesukim of Zechariah that in Eretz Yisrael, the Talmidei Chacham were very nice to each other. They're Noam, they were compared to Shem and Zayas. Yet in Bavel, they were Chovlin, they were fighting with each other, they were compared to olives, which were very bitter. Then the Gemara goes on to quote another Pasuk in Zechariah, Perikei this time, describing how an image he saw with a woman with wings and the wind underneath the wings. He had wings like a particular bird. And it measured from the Shemaim to the Aretz. And then Zechariah asked the Malach, where are they going with this big measure of wind perhaps underneath their wings? They're going to build a bais in the Eretz Shinar. So what is this whole pasuk? What is Zechariah trying to tell us? So the Gemara says, quoting Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishim Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Zechzu chanuf of agasas ruach shiardu lebavel. It was the flattery and the haughtiness that was very present in the place of Bavel. And the Gemara says, is that really true? Was it really in Bavel? Didn't it go elsewhere? And the Gemara says, no, it really started in Bavel, and from Bavel, this Gasas Ruach spread to other places. So Bavel was known as a place full of Gasas Ruach, a place full of Gaiva. So two questions you could raise from this Agata here. One is, Marsha raises this question already, number two, why were the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael referred to as Noam and Yitzar in Lashon Yachid, yet the Talmidei Chachamim Bavel referred to as Zeisim and Chovlim in Lashon Rabbim? Marsha goes on to give a different answer. I'm not going to give his shot. But that's one question. Why Lashon Yachid for Eretz Yisrael, Lashon Rabbim for Bavel? The second question you could ask is, what is the Chanuf and the Gasas Ruach, particularly the Gasas Ruach and the Gaiva, what's that connection to Bavel? Are these two Agatas, they're in the same place, are they connected? The ideas of Bavel being the Talmidei Chachamim fighting with each other, is that connected to the Gasas Ruach?
What's the second question?
Second question is there a connection of the concept of Gasas Ruach in Bavel to the previous discussions of how Talmidei Chachamim acted towards one another, towards the Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel? It seemed to be very much related. I just want to draw it out in the following way. So when Rosenzweig gave shir on this, he explained that the idea is in Eretz Yisrael, they were at Tzibor. They were at Tzibor. And that's why, to answer the Marsha's question, Bnei Yisrael, Talmidei Chacham and Eretz Yisrael referred to it B'Lashon Yachid as Noam, as one unit, Yitzar, one unit. Yet in Bavel, they referred to as individuals. They're Chovim Zebezeh. They're against each other, attacking each other. They were Shnei Zeisim. They're two independent olives. Because they are all individuals. And that's why it connects that there was a lot of Gasas Ruach, a lot of Gaiva in Bavel, because they were individuals. They were very self-centered. So the Gatas are very much connected. It's the same area about Bavel being very much about the individual and Eretz Yisrael being very much about the Tzibor and the Klal. I think this is Meduyak. Rosenzweig didn't bring this right, but I think that's Rashi seems to emphasize this idea. Number three, He says, Mechavlin, Beloshin Az, Vechema, Makshin Zelzeh, with a lot of strength and anger, they would fight with each other in Bavel. Ubnei Eretz Yisrael, Nochin Yachar. Umainin Yachar. They were pleasant together as a unit. They would look into the, you know, investigate each Psakalaka together. Umisakin Zeh as Divrei Zeh. They would help each other, bring riyas and support and evidence for one another. Vashmua Yotzei L'Or. And they would come out to a good Psak Halacha. We see this idea of Bavel, the people in Bavel, not only the Talmid Chachamim, but even the individuals, everybody who lived in Bavel was really a place full of sinna. The Gemara in Psachim, Daf Kuf Yud, Gimel Amud Beis, writes, Tanur Rabbanon, Shlosha Sonim Zed Zed. There are three types of people who hated each other. Hakalavim, dogs, Hatarnagolim, Vachaverim, chickens, friends. The Yesh Omer Af Hazonos, the Yesh Omer Af Tamid Chachamim in Shev Bavel. So even the Tamid Chachamim in Bavel, they too hated each other, very much like this Gemara in Sanhedrin. I'm going to skip for a moment. I messed up a little bit in organizing the Mar Makomos. Let's skip the next few Mar Makomos, 5, 6, and 7 for now. We'll come back to later on. So number 8, not only do we see that within Bavel, there's a lot of hatred from one person to the next, but even the way they were viewed upon by the members of Eretz Yisrael also had much hatred towards the Babylonians, the Jewish Babylonians, that is. So the Gemara Menachos Daf Sadi Tesman Beis discusses the Lechem Aponim, when exactly Lechem Aponim gets given out. The Gemara says, if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, so you can't eat the Lechem Aponim on Shabbos, so you divide everything Erev Shabbos. Okay. Now what happens when Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos? It's Yom Kippur is Friday, Shabbos is the next day, and the Sarir of Yom HaKippurim, there are a number of Sirim that were brought, we're not referring to the Shnei Sirim, but there was a Sarir that's also brought as a Karban Musaf, not the Garalos Sirim, but there's a Stam Karban Musaf, and that was eaten by the Kohanim. So when Yom Kippur was brought on Friday, so they obviously couldn't eat that Musaf on Erev Shabbos because it was Yom Kippur, they had to eat it on Shabbos itself. But the problem is you can't really cook it on Shabbos. So they would leave it over till Sunday maybe to eat it, if possible. Yet the Gemara said, the Mishnah rather says in Sadi Tesma Beis, HaBavloim Ochlin Oso Kishuchai Mipnesha Daitin Yof. The Babylonian, the Jewish Babylonians, they would eat this Musaf, this Sa'ir, this goat, they would eat it while it was still raw on Shabbos. Because you couldn't cook it on Shabbos, they ate it raw. Okay, so the Gemara in Kuf of an Aleph in Menachos explains, in number 9 here, Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Lo Bavloim Heim. They weren't really Babylonians. Ela Alachasandronim Heim. They were really from Alexandria, from Egypt. Umutoch Sheson as Bavloim O Koron Osam Al Shein Bavloim. They're really from Egypt, but they referred to them as Babylonians because they hated the Babylonians and they didn't really like what these Egyptians were doing, eating the raw meat. So they gave them this derogatory term: "You guys are like the Babylonians." See, even the members of Eretz Yisrael also looked down upon the people living in Bavel. Even further, the Gemara in Yuma takes its hatred to the next level. Not only do the Babylonians hate each other, not only do the members of Eretz Yisrael hate the Babylonians, the Gemara in Yuma has the following story. We did this in the Shir the other day, talking about the nature and the character of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish have a sachib yardena. He was swimming in the river in the Yarden. Also, Rabbi Bar Chana Yovli Yodei. Rabbi Bar Chana put his hand out to try to help him out of the river. Reish Lakish responds, Amalei, Eloka Sanina Lacha. Your God hates you. Not only do we hate you in Eretz Yisrael, God hates you as well. He explains, based on the pasuk in Shiashirim, that you guys could have been compared to a wall, a strong wall, but instead you guys are compared to a delis. And the Gemara explains that it had all you, based on Rashi number 11, we'll read that one inside, if l'chol b'nei bavel shelo alu b'mei Ezra, had all of b'nei bavel, they should have come during the times of Ezra, but you guys didn't in bavel, you stayed there. And the fact that you didn't come to Eretz Yisrael in the time of Ezra, umanu shechina milavo miloshev l'shros b'veis ha'shbayis ha'sheni. You guys prevented the shechina from resting by ha'sheni. It was all your fault. So not only do we hate you in Eretz Yisrael, God hates you as well. So obviously the idea of, you know, nochen zebezeh is a good midah. And just to bring two other sources where we see the relevance of the idea of getting along with one another when it comes to Talmud Torah and not hating each other, the two other Gemaras. The Gemara in Erev, Daf Yud Gimel and Beis, famous Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel, Shlosh Shanim Nechelchu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. For 3 years, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai were arguing. Halu Amrim Halacha Kamosenu. V'halu Amrim Kalacha Kamosenu. Beis Shammai would say the Halacha is like us, and Beis Hillel would say the Halacha is like us. Yotze Baskol V'amra Baskol came out and said the following. Elu V'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. They're both true. V'halacha K'Beis Hillel. But nonetheless, we have to make a decision, so we're going to Paskin like Beis Hillel. If they're both really true, they're both emes. Because Beis Hillel, they were nice to each other. Not only were they nice to each other and modest, they also taught their words and the words of Beis Shammai. They didn't ignore Beis Shammai as if they were nothing. They recognized the value of the Torah that came from Beis Shammai. And furthermore, they actually presented the side of Beis Shammai before they presented their own side. But we see the first reason that's mentioned is Shenochin Valuvim Hayu. They got along with each other, unlike those in Bavel. The Gemara in Megillah Daf Lamed Beis Mem Aleph at the end of the Masechta quotes a pasuk, and first a statement of Shaphtai Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kol HaKorei Belo Nima V'Shoni Belo Zimra. Somebody who learns without a musical type of voice, singing. The pasuk in Yechezkel refers to them v'gam oni nasati lehem chukim lo tovim. Basically, that giving judgment laws that are worthless. Bai asks, "What do you mean? Because they don't know how to sing and project their voice is considered as if mishpatim lo yichyu bahem kriyas bay means they're creating mishpatim that are not true." So elak the Rav Mesharsha d'amar shnei tamidi chachamim hayoshim beirachas ve'nochen zeh balacha, two tamidi chachamim sitting in one city and they don't get along with each other. Aleim akasuv. That's what the pasuk is referring to. That's not good. So obviously, you don't need the Gemara to prove this idea of getting along with one another is a good thing, but we see throughout that the way Bavel, the way they got along was not very good, and it caused hatred within Bavel, caused hatred among the members of Eretz Yisrael towards the outlook in the members of Bavel, and even Akash Baruch Hu supposedly hated the Babylonians as well. So now we get to the last line of the Yagata. Yeah. It seemed like only in the world of halacha. But the Gemara in Sachem, when it says Sonim Zebazeh, it refers to the Tamid HaChachamim of Bavel hating each other, right. It could have manifested itself beyond that even. But it referred to only the Tamid HaChachamim. I'm not sure if every individual in Bavel necessarily like hated each other, but it seemed like it stemmed from the Torah itself. The way they interacted in the world of Torah. That's how it seems. But I guess the idea of Reish Lakish, the hatred there was from not coming from the time of Ezra. That's for a different reason, I guess. Right. Okay. But either way, there's a lot of hatred going on in Bavel. Now, there's one more line in the Agata back in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Dalar Min Aleph, in number 14, which is as follows. Quoting a pasuk in Eicha Per Gimel, Bamachashakim Haushivenu Kimese Olam, I let them dwell in darkness like people who are dead. What does that refer to? Amar Reb Yirmiyah Zeh Talmud Shabbat. That's the Talmud Bava, which we, of course, learn. So why is it referred to as a place of darkness? So Rabbi Nechananel in the Al-Atar explains that Kolomar Tamim Shalot Tzfunim V'alumim Kimayim Amukim. They were hidden. They were perhaps not the best svaras, like deep waters, very distant. So it sounds like it's, you could say they're really deep and profound in a positive way, or you could say maybe they're so distant and so far off, so I'm not sure how to take it. My guess would be they're really dark and distant and not so sensical. That would be my guess from Rabbi Nechanano, but you could read it the other way as well. Okay, so why was it that way, though? Why was the Talmud Bavel so far off? So Rashi here in Sanhedrin explains, She'ein nochen zemzeh. Because they didn't get along with each other, that was the very reason why the Talmud Bavli was very dark. The Talmudam Safik Biyadim. And then the Talmud came out, everything was always unclear to them. There was so much fighting going on, it led to this, inferior type of Talmud, as opposed to the Talmud that emanated from Eretz Yisrael. There's a Gemara, which I skipped earlier. I'll just say it outside. You don't have to jump there. I don't want to confuse everybody. But the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Hayim and Aleph, discusses the story of Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Zeir left Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael. And when he went there, he fasted 100 times. Why? In order to help him forget the Gemara he learned in Bavel, and it shouldn't interrupt and get in the way of learning the Talmud he's going to learn in Eretz Yisrael. That's how bad the Talmud of the Bavel was, according to the Gemara. And Rashi there explains, because there was so much fighting going on, the Talmud, he walked away with nothing. Everything was so unclear, so many fighting. There's no clear halacha, so he fasted 100 times so he would forget the Gemara in Bavel, so he could learn when he went to Eretz Yisrael much clearer. But there might be a different perspective as to why the Talmud, the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, is different than the Torah of Bavel. Not necessarily because they didn't get along, that might have been true, but maybe for another reason. If you look at Rashi and Pesachim, quoting that pasuk as well, and why it was such darkness, why the Talmud Bavel was referred to as a place of darkness, he refers to it, number 17, as Bavel Amuka. Bavel was deep, it was low down, sounds like a geographical description of Bavel, something about the location of Bavel. Not sure what that means right now. Gemara Chagiga Daf Yud Amun Aleph quotes another pasuk in Zechariah, Uliyotze Ulavo Ein Shalom, someone who goes and comes, there's no peace. Not settled. He's not happy. He's not. What's it referred to? Going back and forth between what? So, Amarav, Kevin Shiyotze, Aldam Midavar Halacha, Ladavar Mikra, Shuv Ein Lo Shalom. If a person goes from learning Halacha, Shulchan Aruch, and he goes to learning Psukim, let's say, he's not going to be so satisfied. Shmuel Amar Zeb, Porish Mitalmud LeMishnah. That's someone who goes from learning the Gemara, the deep analysis, and goes back to the Mishnayos. He too won't have any Shalom. It would be unsatisfying. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Mitalmud LeTalmud. No, even if someone goes from two different Talmud, from Talmud of, which Rashi explains, Mitalmud Yushalmi LeTalmud Bavli, Shehu Amuk. If you go from the Yushalmi to the Bavli, that too, because the Talmud Bavli is so deep, Amuk. So I'm not sure, and he quotes the Pasuk in the quote in Sanhedrin, our Gemara, Zu Talmud Shel Bavel. So what does that mean, going from the Yushalmi to the Bavli? That is deep. What's the depth? I'm not sure what Rashi means. Is he referring to the Gemara itself being very profound and deep analysis, or is he referring to back to what Rashi said earlier, that it was, since it's a geographical deep location and distant and low down, that maybe made the Torah in a very low type of level? I don't know how to take that Rashi, but it sounds like he's connecting to the previous Rashi, that it's something about the geographical setup of Bavel that it was Amuka. Again, not because they fought with each other, but something about the way Bavel was, the actual location of Bavel. So the next Ma'ar Malkin, I think it's going to be clear what I'm trying to get at. Number 20, the Gemara quotes the quote of Gemara in Basra Daf Kuf Nun Ches Amud Beis. There's a mission that discusses if a house falls on a son and a mother at the same time, who died first? Did the mother die first? Did the son die first? Without getting involved in that, but it comes up to who's the Yorshin, who's going to be inheriting the mother and the son. So either way, without really understanding it, we can still appreciate this line. The Gemara says, "Bechezkas mi." Who is it? Bechezkas. Who gets the claim? Which Yorshim? So Rabbi Elah Omar Bechezkas Yorshia Aim. The Yorshia of the mother, her Yorshim, get to claim everything. And Rabbi Zeir Omar Bechezkas Yorshia Ben. No. The Yorshim of the son get to claim everything. Okay. Kisalak Rabbi Zeir. When Rabbi Zeir left, we know from the Gemara earlier, he left Bavel when he went to Eretz Yisrael. Kamishitase de Rabbi Eli. He ended up agreeing with Rabbi Eli. Not only did he agree with Rabbi Eli, come Rabbi Bishitase de Rabbi Zeira. And Rabbi agreed with Rabbi Zeira. I'm not sure if it means the original Rabbi Zeira or the Rabbi Zeira now. But we see that Rabbi Zeira gave in to the opinion of Rabbi Eli when he went to Eretz Yisrael. Why was that? Why did he finally give in? Amar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira said himself, he explained why he changed opinions. Shema mino avira de Eretz Yisrael machkim. The land, the air, something about the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael helps someone become wiser. And Rabbi Zeir finally realized the truth. It wasn't because Eretz Yisrael had the people who lived there versus the way the people acted in Bavel, but it was actually the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael itself which created a stronger sense of clarity in the learning in Eretz Yisrael. As opposed to Bavel, which was lower down, which lacked Kedusha, which is more Amuk, that didn't have the ability and people couldn't come out with a clear halacha. The Rashbam explains there that, just clarifying our point here, Shem Mishael Yisi L'Eretz Yisrael, when Rabbi Zeir went to Eretz Yisrael, Nasatesh Libi L'Otzeis Mishitatsi, I took it upon myself to get all the Torah out of my mind that I learned in Bavel, U'la'amod al Misas Hadavaram, to come to the real MS that I would learn in Eretz Yisrael. So right now we have two different approaches as to why Talmud that emanated from Eretz Yisrael was better than that of Bavel. Either because the people got along better in Eretz Yisrael, or because the land itself was full of Kedusha, the Avira de Eritzel Machkim. Now there is an interesting story in the Gemara, Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Gemara there discusses Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana happened to kill someone when he was in Babel, whatever the mice was, he killed someone. And it came to a point where Rav suggested, Rav Kahana, I think it's time you leave and get out of here before the Yevonim find out. So Rav Kahana fled to Eretz Yisrael, and Rav just gave him this warning. He said, when you get to Eretz Yisrael, do not ask any questions to Rav Yochanan for 7 years. Stay quiet for 7 years when you get there. Okay, so instead Rav Kahana found Reish Lakish and went to sit and learn in front of Reish Lakish. And Reish Lakish was learning, and then Rav Kahana found him and said, I have the following question, and here's the answer to the question. I have another question for you, here's another answer. Asking a lot of kashas on Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was amazed, and he said to Rav Yochanan, a great Ari Ala Mibavel, a great lion, a wise individual has come from Bavel. So he wanted to sit in the shir, Rav Yochanan's shir. So he went to Rav Yochanan's shir, and Rav Yochanan sat over at the shir, and Rav Kahana stayed quiet because he had to listen to it. Rav had advised him, don't ask any kashas to Rav Yochanan. He sat there quiet. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, Arisha Marta Nasa Shua, this lion you speak of really turned into a fox of some sort. He didn't say a thing. He sat there quiet the whole time. What are you talking about? So they said that he said something of Yiratzon, that he should be able to, the 7 years that Rav had advised him, he should be able to jump seven like rows in front and start asking questions on Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan gave a shir, and he was sitting on seven pillows, and each question that Rav Kahana asked him, he removed one of the pillows underneath Rav Kahana, underneath Rabbi Yochanan, until Rabbi Yochanan was left sitting on the floor. Rav Kahana attacked him with questions. Finally, Rabbi Yochanan wanted to know, like, who this Rav Kahana, this guy, he couldn't see, he was very old, he had these long eyelids, and he couldn't see well. He wanted to see the image of this person who was asking all these kashas to him. So he lifted his eyelids up, and he looked at him, and it looked like Rav Kahana was laughing at him. Rav Yochanan's like, this guy's laughing at me? And however it worked, Rav Kahana got, died from Rav Yochanan's Ayin Hara, or whatever happened. He davened, I don't know what happened. Rav Kahana died from Rav Yochanan staring him down. And the next day, they explained to Rabbi Yochanan that he wasn't laughing at you. Rav Kahana wasn't laughing at all. That's just the way he was. He had a smile that looked like he was laughing, but he wasn't laughing, chas v'shalom. So Rabbi Yochanan found out where he was buried, found out where Rabbi Yochanan was buried, and went to this cave, and there was a snake that was blocking its entrance. So he said, snake, please open your mouth up and let the Rav, me, Rabbi Yochanan, enter into the Talmud. The snake didn't respond. Okay, fine, let a chaver enter in to go see the chaver. Let Rav Yochanan, me, Rav Yochanan, see my friend Rav Kahana. Didn't respond. Finally he said, let the Talmud go see the Rebbe. Let me, Rav Yochanan, see my Rebbe Rav Kahana. Even though Rav Yochanan was much older than Rav Kahana. Finally, the snake let him in, and he says to Rav Kahana, please, I didn't realize this was your way, and I didn't realize, I thought you were laughing at me, and then they made a deal, and he went back. Rav Kahana was revived, I guess, and he went back with Rabbi Yochanan. And finally, the Gemara concludes, number 23, in bold, Hainu d'amar b'yochan dilchun armi dilahunhi. It's really, the Torah is not ours in Eretz Yisrael, the Torah is really yours in Babel. I was wrong. I always thought we in Eretz Yisrael had ownership of the Torah, and it wasn't true. You in Babel have the real ownership of Torah. This seems to be a little going against what we had set up until now, that the Torah of Eretz Yisrael was superior to that of Babel. We find again the Gemara in Sukkah we saw last year. The Gemara discusses where is the source of the mitzvahs of Arava. The mitzvahs of Arava, they used to go around the Mizbech on Sukkot with either the Aravos or the Lulav, going around a number of times. And the Gemara has two opinions as to what the source is. Either it's Yisod Nevi'im or it's a Minhag Nevi'im. And then Rabbi Yochanan says, they actually, in Bava, what happened was they forgot the original source and we brought it back. We figured out the original source. But they originally had forgotten the some Torah in Bava. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan hold that originally I thought the Torah was in Eretz Yisrael, but then I saw Rav Kahana and the Torah was really in Bava and they really never forgot anything. I was misinformed. So this is just a second appearance of this idea of Rabbi Yochanan realizing the Torah was really much more superior in Babel than it was in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi explains that Gemara in Sukkah based on the Gemara in Baba Kama we just saw. So how are we to explain this? I thought, again, the Talmud of Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be more superior because they got along, or because the Avir of Eretz Yisrael created a much higher level, clear type of Torah. Why is Rabbi Yochanan giving in and saying the Talmud above that was much greater? So we can explain this, I think, based on the Gemara in Ksubis. This is number 26. The Gemara in Ksubis, Daf Ayin Hey and Aleph, says the following statement. The Bais said that one of them is as good as two of us. One of the members of Eretz Yisrael, one of the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael, is as good as two of us here in Bavel. Meaning they're greater than us. Rava says, you might be right, but one of us who goes to Eretz Yisrael then, a Babylonian in Eretz Yisrael, is greater than two of them. Aldif Kitre Minayu. He gets gets quadrupled. He goes from being half of an Eretz Yisrael to twice that of a member of Talmud Chacham of Eretz Yisrael. So how does he know this? That a Babylonian Jew who goes to Eretz Yisrael becomes twice as good as a Talmud Chacham of Eretz Yisrael? Because Rabbi Yirmiya, not only did Rabbi Zera run off to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yirmiya also ran off to Eretz Yisrael. The whole Rabbi Yirmiya dichi habahacha. Rabbi Yirmiya was here in Bavel. Lava yod my kamer rabbanon. He had no clue about anything we were saying. He wasn't so smart, it seemed. But kisalak lahasim, when he went to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yirmiya, karin lan bavloi tibshai. He referred to us as stupid people, foolish. So he knew he was one of the weakest guys here in Bavel. But when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he called us stupid. He was much greater than us. So obviously the combination of being born in Bavel and growing up and being raised in Bavel and moving to Eretz Yisrael has a certain effect. And that might be pshat as to why Rav Kana, when he went from Bavel and fled to Eretz Yisrael, so that combination of things, being raised and born in Bavel and then moving and living in Eretz Yisrael, will make you greater than even Rabbi Yochanan. Why is that true? That a member, a Babylonian-born Jew, moving to Eretz Yisrael will be even greater than a member of a Talmud Chacham who always lived in Eretz Yisrael. Shita Mikubetzis, quoting a Risha on the Rivash, number 27, gives the following explanation. He says, nearly at Tan, the reason is as follows. Ki b'nei Eretz Yisrael, teva ha'aretz mesayi lehem, mishum da'avira de'eretz Yisrael machim. The way, the nature, the atmosphere, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael gives us the ability to make people wiser. Aval einem regilim lilmod kol kach b'charifus kamo b'nei Bavel. Yet, although they have this spiritual ability to understand things, they don't have the hasmada, they don't have the skills, the analytical skills, the charifus that they had in B'nai Bavel. They didn't work as hard. It kind of came to them more naturally through the teva avir of Eretz Yisrael. But in Bavel, they had to work hard with charifus and hasmada. And therefore, Lachain explains the Rivash, B'vnei Bavel, Hahergo Messiah, the ability, the regularity to learn, and the Harifis, Ulevnei Eretz Yisrael, Tev Haaretz, and then the combining that with the Ovir of Eretz Yisrael, that combination will make the Babylonian much greater than one who lives in Eretz Yisrael his whole life. The Shalah, number 29, gives a very similar approach as well. He says, in Eretz Yisrael, they weren't so fiery, they weren't so into the pilpul. They dealt with much deeper yesodos of Maisa Merkava. But the Talmid Chachamim in Bavel were the opposite. They didn't deal with the deep, Kabbalistic type of learning. They were dealing with pashut things like Havayos to Abai V'Ravo, Shak the Vitari in the Gemara. But they were able to create this ability to be Mefapel things, and to analyze things. And when they learned that skill in Bavel, and they finally went to Eretz Yisrael, they were able to apply those analytical skills to even the Maisa Merkava and the deep things, and get this higher level of learning in Eretz Yisrael. So now that being said, we have to raise the following question. It seems that the Torah in Eretz Yisrael is better than the Torah in Bavel, except for when an individual goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, then he has this combination of both of those things working for him, and he comes out on top. But if you're not that particular person, you weren't like Rav Kahana, you weren't like Rabbi Zera or Rabbi Yirmiya who ran off to Eretz Yisrael. Seemingly, the Talmud in Bavel stayed in Bavel, and the Talmud in Eretz Yisrael stayed in Eretz Yisrael. So why the Maisa do we end up paskening like Bavel as opposed to the Talmud Yerushalmi? It would seem that Yerushalmi would be better than the Talmud Bavli. So there are a few approaches here. First, to number 30. We're going to come back to number 28 and Tziv at the end. And the Rif explains in the end of Erevin, apparently Rabbi Balzman likes to quote this, I was told, he says, the reason why passing like the Bavli, he says, since our sugya, our Gemara, the Bavli, Lehatera, we passing in Mutter, whatever the case is, we don't really care what the Yerushalmi says that they say Aser, we follow our Gemara. Why? Because the Talmud Bavli came after the Yerushalmi, so we passed and always like Kibasra, like the last opinion. Perhaps because he saw all the cases, he saw everything before him, so he decided what was most mistaber, and he passed in that way. Very practical reason. Not because they're necessarily better, because they came later, so like the Shulchan Aruch came after all the Rishonim, he decided we're going to pass in this way, based on what I think is most mistaber, or based on what the Minog is, we're passing in this way. This is the final halacha. Shulchan Aruch decided, so too the Talmud Bavli came afterwards and decided, okay, this is how we're going to pass in halacha. They saw everything. So that's why passing like the Bavli, just a very practical reason, it's I guess one of the Klali Halacha we have to follow. But not because the Bavli is better than Yerushalmi, but just because the Bavli came after the Yerushalmi. The Rambam, the Tshuva in the Rambam, quoted by the Ritva in Yuma, Daf Nun Zayim and Aleph, gives also a practical reason, but different than the Rif. He explains all the Gemaras we quoted earlier that indicated that the Talmud Yerushalmi was better, and the Torah of Eretz Yisrael was better. That was all because it was time of Hashmados. It was bad times in Bavel. They were running around. They didn't have the Nachas Ruach. They didn't have the ability to really formulate things. It was a difficult time for them, and they couldn't really create the best and most clearest Torah. But after all that settled down, at the end of this Marmokom, Aval Acharkach, afterwards, Nisgaber HaTorah in Bavel, Torah became stronger in Bavel. From Rebbe to Rav Ashi, we didn't find Torah as great in one place as the times of Rav Ashi. Since Rav Ashi, things changed. Not because Rav Ashi necessarily was the last person, because the Torah became so vibrant in one location, it got better. The Gemara, all the stories of the Gemara were things where it was bad times in Bavel. So they weren't able to come out to the best clarity, the most clarity in Torah. But the times of Rav Ashi, things got much better. There are no more distractions. But again, a very practical reason, like the Rif, yet different than the Rif. Not because they came last, but because things became less distracting. Yeah? So we have to still explain, how do you deal with that Gemara? You know, still, in the end of the day, doesn't Eretz Yisrael have this ability to be machim you? Shouldn't that, you know, trump... Okay, so we'll come back to that. Now this Netziv is going to explain, I think, that question. The Netziv, you don't have to look back. If you want, you can. I don't want to confuse everybody. Number 28, the Netziv explains as follows. It says, don't think that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when it was referring to Bavel, the Talmud of Bavel, as being a dark place, that wasn't Lignai, Chas V'Shalom. He says it wasn't something bad about the Torah in Bavel. El is a Koch HaNifla, that they were able to create this ore, this light of Torah, despite the fact it was so dark in Bavel, and that there was no light, there was no Kedusha helping them. Still, nonetheless, they were able to overcome those distractions in Bavel. And that was the greatness in Bavel. We pass in like Talmud Bavli, not because they came last, and not because times have changed, because they were greater than the Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. They had to overcome so much. They had no help from the Kedusha. There's no Koach helping them out in Bavel. And that's why the Talmud of Eretz Yisrael, is much greater than that of Eretz Yisrael. That's something just interesting to keep in mind. Now that we have different approaches as to why we accept the Bavli over the Yerushalmi, how do we deal with different cases where the Yerushalmi and Bavli seem to argue with each other? So, there are many examples of this, but just one example: Tosas and Brachos Daf Yud Aleph and Beis, the last line there in bold, the Heishiv read the Lo Kaimalon Kaosu Yerushalmi Hove Gemara Shalana Lo Amru. We don't really care. The Rif said this also, but we don't really care if the Yerushalmi argues on our Gemara, because we pass him like our Gemara, the Bavli, and we don't really care much about the Yerushalmi. Yet the Kesem Mishnah on Hilchos Gerushin Perikid Gemel says no. Near Li the Mari B'Davar Parti Ba'Achras HaYerushalmi the Lo Liflag Gemara Didan HaChrahi. When we try to reconcile a contradiction between the Bavli and Yerushalmi, we should try to be machriya them, that they should be going along. We'd rather there not be a machlokas. As much as possible, we like to make them parallel with each other and agree with each other. Even though it's a little weak, it's not so such an obvious explanation, we much prefer to have them work with each other than to be against each other. So while Tosafot didn't really care so much, he just kind of threw the Yerushalmi out, the Kesef Mishnah was much more concerned with having them be equal. And now I just want to finish off with just two quick sources as to different, focuses that the Yerushalmi has versus the Bavli, which may connect to the overall idea here. That where on one hand, Yerushalmi, that Torah of Eretz Yisrael, was assisted by the other, by the Kedusha, it was less about the effort that the individuals put in, but it was more about the Teva within Eretz Yisrael they lived in, while in Bavel, it was more about the Hasmada and the Harifas and the Pilpul, that the amount of strength that the individuals put in, that they're fighting with each other, not Lignai, but they're fighting with each other to come out to the Emes, because they needed to. They had no help from the Kedusha, there's no Kedusha in Bavel, but they had to put their own efforts and their own koach in. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chof Amud Beis, discusses different levels a person should work to get to a high level of Precious and to Tahara and Chasidus. So the Gemara says, first stage is Torah Mevili De Zahiris. Torah gets you to carefulness, and Zahiris Mevili De Zrizus, and Zrizus Mevili De Nikios. Those are the first three steps. This all starts with Torah. You look at the Yerushalmi and Shkalim, quoting also from Pinchas ben Yair, or Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, Omer Zrizus Mevili De Nikios. Nikias Mevili De Tara. He skips the first couple stages. Most notably, he skips the first step of Torah. It doesn't start from Torah, according to the Yerushalmi. The same person they're quoting, but it doesn't mention Torah Mevili De Zahiris. Similarly, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, there's a guy out there, David Melch is asking from Kadosh Baruch Hu, when am I going to die? Please tell me. So I can't tell you when you're going to die, but I can tell you which day you'll die on. You're going to die on Shabbos, but I won't tell you which Shabbos you're going to die on. So then the Gemara concludes that he said, maybe David wants to die on Erev Shabbos, please. This way they could be, you know, Osek in a Hesped and my Kavura. Erev Shabbos, not Shabbos, because I'm going to be waiting, I'm dead there lying, just waiting till Saturday night or Sunday. So he says, no, I can't let you die any earlier, because Tov li yom echad she'ata yoshev yosek b'Torah. I'd much rather one day that you're sitting learning Torah, me elef olos she'osid shlomo bin chalakiv l'nei al-gavi l'fanai al-gavi mizbech. Much more do I prefer your learning than the thousands of karbanos that Shlomo HaMelech is going to ultimately bring. Your Talmud Torah is much more important to me, so I can't let you die any earlier than you're supposed to. Rikvi Eger there on the spot in the Gidon Hashas quotes a Yerushalmi. If you want to be sending, you're not really sure what he means by this. He quotes Yerushalmi in Brachos, Perek Zayin, Isa Chaviven Alai Mishpat Utstaka She'ata Ose Yoser Mikarbanos. I prefer much more your actions than your karbanos. Alright, what's he trying to accomplish here? So I think Rikvi Eger, I saw this quote in the Kovitz, he showed this with Hakiros, that Yerushalmi leaves out the word Torah again. It's not chav of the Torah that David HaMelech learned, it's chav of the mitzos that David HaMelech learns. The Shitaso. In both places, the Gemara Avodah Zarah, the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara talks about Torah being the beginning, that's where everything starts from. From Torah, you get to Zahiris. Torah is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted David HaMelech to learn. In the Yerushalmi, that's not the case. Torah is not even a stage in working and building yourself. Torah is not even a stage. Torah is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from David HaMelech, it was the Asiyas mitzos that he wanted from David HaMelech. I think the idea is, because in Bavel, they lacked the Avir and the Teva, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. They had to fight much harder for the Torah. It didn't come to them easily. So I think all these ideas really do come together. Hopefully that will give a nice, I guess, overview of a number of Gemaras and Shas to give us a different, a nice impression on the Talmud Torah in Eretz Yisrael versus the Talmud Torah of Bavel.